this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, my first sermon at St. Timothy's, and this is the text that I get. What a doozy. And that too. What a difficult and challenging thing that we have heard today. And yet, I think that it is a fitting message for us today. Today, as we remember how God has been our help in ages past. Last week, we celebrated the victory of all the saints over the trials of this life and the powers of this present darkness. Today, we remember those who offered up their lives in the line of duty, whose sacrifice we all benefit from. And what do we hear today proclaimed in the gospel? We have heard this good news, that there is a world beyond this present death, guaranteed to us by the certain hope of the resurrection. But before we begin, let's acquire a sense of the context for this good news. Our Lord Jesus is approaching the end of his life. Back in Luke chapter 9, he had set his face towards Jerusalem. And in chapter 19, he had arrived and entered the city, teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel. It doesn't take long before the religious leaders appear in order to tempt Jesus. Luke tells us that they asked him questions, not from a sincere desire to learn, but in order to catch him in something that he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and the jurisdiction of the governor. These are the wicked lying in wait to catch up the righteous one in his words. They are scheming to kill Jesus. They want nothing more than his death. And so, in today's text, the Sadducees, co-conspirators in this devilish deceit, ask Jesus about the levirate marriage, a law in Deuteronomy that obligates a man to marry his brother's widow in order to perpetuate the family name in the case of the woman not bearing any children. This woman, in their story, was not widowed only one time, but seven times, and yet no children. Because she was married seven times, whose wife will she be in the resurrection, they ask. Now, I hope we are able to see how these Sadducees represent the demons who introduce evil thoughts to humanity, as St. Maximus says. Or at least, the Sadducees function here much in the same way that the demons do. Luke tells us here that the Sadducees, before even asking their question, already denied the resurrection. And as Patricia reminded me this morning, that was why they were sad, you see. But Luke also tells us again in the book of Acts that they denied especially the spiritual quality of life in the resurrection. They denied also angels and spirits. So for the Sadducees, if there is a resurrection, and for them there is not, the life thereafter will be much exactly the same as this life. In other words, they want us to believe that this present life is all that there is. That there is no afterlife. That angels are fanciful, if not completely absurd. That the operations of our minds are not spiritual in any way, but are reducible to the firing of synapses in our brains. It's only this life that we can ever hope to expect anything good. And we hear this still today, all the time, don't we? These very same things. But the good news for us today is that these thoughts are inadequate at best. No, there is a world beyond this present death, guaranteed by the certain hope of resurrection. But what am I suggesting? That this life is not good? No, but to the contrary, human life is very good. And what about marriage? Yes, it is also good. As a recent newlywed, I have no doubts about this. But concerning marriage, as is the case in all things, Paul requires in the epistle we heard today that we stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by the apostles, either by their spoken word or by their letter. And Paul received these from our Lord Jesus himself. Marriage is good indeed. It is a profound mystery that refers to the mystical marriage between Christ and the church. At the same time, to marry and be given in marriage belongs to this age, to this life. It is not final. According to the rites and ceremonies of the church, God has given us the good gift of marriage, first, for the hallowing of the union between man and woman. Second, for the procreation of children to be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And third, for the mutual society, help, and comfort that one ought to have of the other in both prosperity and adversity. Our Lord Jesus, Paul, and all the subsequent tradition are clear. These do not apply to the life of the age to come, but they apply to the life of this age. This life is good, yes, undeniably, but it is a life firstly stained with the sins which alienate us from one another. And so our unions require hallowing. Secondly, it is a life that is subject to death. And so our families do require progeny if they are to continue. And thirdly, it is a transitory life, fraught with trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, and every kind of adversity. And so we require mutual society, help, and comfort. But to what end? That we might all attain to the mystical marriage between Christ and the church, the world beyond this present death, guaranteed by the certain hope of resurrection. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Is our Lord Jesus rejecting marriage? Clearly not, I think. But, as St. Clement of Alexandria says, the Lord is not rejecting marriage, but is purging the anticipation of physical desire after the resurrection. It is like Paul says to the Philippians, the enemies of Christ have their belly as their god, their physical appetites and desires. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Not so with Christ's friends. No, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, which is sick and dying and frail, to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Those who neither marry nor are given in marriage in this life are merely choosing to share in this experience in the here and now. We can see then why it is that the early church believed celibacy to be the ideal. By way of contrast, the sons of this age are like the Sadducees, denying the resurrection. They say, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink and be merry. Let us sleep around, for tomorrow we're going to die anyway. Full stop. We all need to hear this today, I think, friends, that the demons want nothing more than to introduce such evil thoughts into our minds. They work tirelessly for us to swap in the mystical for the material, to sell our inheritance for a bowl of stew, to submit our wills not to the good spiritual gifts in heavenly places, but to the physical desires of the flesh. They want us to think little of the world beyond this present death. And they do so out of envy. They envy our destiny. God created humans for himself. In the beginning, God determined, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And he gave us a task, to have dominion over everything on earth. All the animals, all the vegetable life, everything. It's all good. Having created them, God blessed them. He said to male and female, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And what else do the scriptures say about this? David says in Psalm 8, God has made man for a little while lower than the angels and put everything into subjection under his feet. The life of this age is good, but it is just a little while. Our task will reach its end. And our destiny is to become like the angels who surround the throne of God in ceaseless vision of him for whom they were created. We will be made, and what's more, our destiny is to be with Christ, who is far superior to all of the angels. We will be made like him. Like the angels, we will neither die nor be born. We will be resurrected in bodies made spiritual. But we will be made like Christ, seated with him at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We will be equal to the angels, yes, but more than that, we will be raised above them. And the demons, the fallen angels, they hate us for this. They want nothing more than to distract us from our destiny with lesser desires. Friends, we must stand firm against their attacks. We must not bring death upon ourselves. Together with righteous Job, we must endure with steadfastness the provocations of the devil. The devil robbed Job of everything, his house, his children, and his health. And we're not guaranteed these things any more than Job was. Yet in the face of death, Job boldly stood firm in saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand upon the earth. After my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God. We know that our Redeemer lives, Jesus Christ the righteous, who suffered once for sins that he might bring us to God, being put death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. By his death, he has destroyed death, and he cannot die anymore. He is the resurrection and the life, the firstborn from the dead. And in him, each one of us is made to be a son of the resurrection. Let us give ourselves to him in the marriage of the mystical union and purify our souls from all passions of the flesh as he himself is pure. In so doing, by this grace, we will attain to the world beyond this present death, which is guaranteed by the certain hope of your resurrection. Traditionally, Trinity Tide exists between the sending of the Spirit at Pentecost and at the coming of our Lord. It exists so that we may learn to purify ourselves. The Christian life, as the Fathers teach us, consists of three things: purification, illumination, and union with Christ. Purification is putting to death the deeds of the flesh in us, which arise out of the eight principal passions, otherwise known as the seven deadly sins. These are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride, together with Acadia and vainglory. These belong to the sons of this age. In our struggle against them, we will suffer very much. Indeed, we do suffer. This life is hard. And for all of our infirmities, we require spiritual medicine. Marriage is good, yes, but friendship is better. To those of us who are mature, help the immature in the struggle against sin. To those of us who are making progress, persist in the power which the Spirit of Christ alone gives. Together, we cooperate in this wonderful economy of grace. When we fall, we will pick one another back up. When we despair, we will assure one another with hope. When we are sick, we will nurse one another back to health. And if any one of you today finds yourself in a place of death or despair or sickness or trouble or sorrow or need or any kind of adversity, let's talk. Let's talk about it. We're in this together as the friends of Christ. And at the end of this service, there will be people in the back available to pray with you for whatever you need. In this life, we may not find solutions to our pains, but our pains will not persist till the end. They are not without their purpose. Friends of Christ, whether you are married or single, offer grace to one another in your struggle against the flesh, the world, the sin, and the devil, so that as the one body of Christ, we may attain to the certain hope of the resurrection. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. To him belong glory and dominion to the ages of ages. Amen.